different. We'll a shorter teaching time, and then after that, we'll break down into smaller groups and discuss, visioning and hopes and dreaming and where we see the connection going, with a specific emphasis this week on the going out rhythm of our community life. Last week, we talked about the coming together, the gathering portion of our community life, and this week, it'll be the going out portion. So my name is Chris. I almost always forget to identify my name for new people. I'm Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's a pleasure to have you here tonight. So a Christian community is shaped both by these two aspects. And that's why the language at the connection we often use is inhale and exhale, because it's those two aspects of community life. It's the coming together and then the going out, the going back to the places we find ourselves and the places we live. And it makes this ebb and flow of who we are as followers of Jesus. It's this inhale, this exhale. And we use this language of the breaking forth of resurrection and the breaking out of resurrection in our community gathering, but then as it breaks forth in the life of our community, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, our workplaces, our schools. And I can't help but think of the image we have in John 4 of the Jesus promises this living water welling up into eternal life, this spilling forth, this spilling over. And resurrection life should have that same sort of imagery of spilling over, spilling forth, pouring out of us. And that's this going out aspect of our community life together. And I want to talk about this again through the lens of the book of Acts, but I'm going to do a little bit of a ramble or a rant or something about the word mission. And the word is connected to the Latin word missio, and it's this idea of sending or releasing, and it's also the idea of a military charge. In military context, this mission is to have an official military charge about a task that the person is supposed to be on or doing, and that's where we have that expression. And Marilyn actually used it in our conversation on a mission. That's how we use it. We're on a mission. That's a charge given to the person. And also, it's used to for a place where soldiers stay is also called a mission. And that's how the word kind of developed into places like the Toronto City Mission, which is a soup kitchen. It's a place where there's a charge or a care center. But often in a Christian context, the word mission is equated with missionary and that sort of relationship. And this would be the context of the Latin verb mitto or mittera. And that depends on whether you classify the words under their present for singular form or their infinitive form, which is kind of a lame matter. Dictionaries go back and forth, and sometimes you have to figure out which one they're working with. And when pastors quote from original languages, normally when they quote Greek verbs, it's from the present indicative for singular form. And if they're quoting from Hebrew verbs, it's from the kal stem, third masculine singular form. So there's information that will change your life or not. So mitto has a range of meanings. And the basic range is to send. And this is kind of like the basic or default translation. The first one you have to learn so that you can kind of do a rough translation of something. And whenever you learn a language, you learn that there's a basic meaning and then there's all these nuanced meanings that hang out around that word, where you, to get the exact meaning, you have to kind of know these many definitions to get the idea of the verb. And that's the challenge when you're learning a second language, is to know the nuance and the right time to use the word and the right emphasis. And in learning German, I made many of mistakes with finding the right kind of tone in when the word uses. So words can have a variety and a range of meaning. So when people say, all right, so this word literally means this. Well, not exactly. The word means a certain thing depending on the context, depending on the situation, depending on the other words that are associated with it and combined with it. And words change over time. In English, we have words that meant quite a different thing 200 years ago, and then they develop, and then they come into new definitions and new understandings and new ways to use them. And so mitto also can mean dispatch, or it can mean throw, it can mean hurl, to let go, emit, utter. So there's this range of meaning that is connected to this idea of sending. You could send word, you can send a gift, or which would then often translate it as bestow a gift on someone. And so this rambling is not without a point. It's believe it or not, this rambling is not without a point. The term a missionary is often associated with this mission, this sending, this going out, and this going far. And I'd like to condense this definition and bring it in and kind of pull in those two ideas of mission as being charged, mission as being sending, and kind of blend my own worldview into this and create my own kind of definition pulling in this range of meaning. And I'd like to emphasize or give the definition in two parts. And the first one is that I would like to view mission and going out and that missionary aspect as the extension of who we are, those of us who are journeying with Christ, expressing the implications of resurrection in the places we find ourselves. So that's how I'd like to force that definition into there. The extension of who we are, those journeying with Christ, expressing the implications of resurrection in the places we find ourselves. So mission isn't something going beyond or beyond who we are or outside of ourselves, but it's something that is embedded with who we are as people, as those of us who've encountered with Jesus. And then in that encounter, then we have that charge to be proclaiming resurrection, proclaiming new life to people and those around us. So we're all, by this definition, missionaries. We're all sent ones, sent to a place. And this is not by location. This isn't by the geography. This is by encounter. This is by an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so this extension of who we are is that's an extension of our person, our life, are the things that we have encountered, those things that have changed us, those things that have taught us and made us grow. Those things extend out of us into new situations where we can then proclaim resurrection life. We can proclaim new hope out of there. And so just as some people are proclaiming resurrection life on the other side of the earth, we're proclaiming resurrection life in the situations right here. And so you could insert this, just as my task selling cars or doing physics or doing engineering. These things are all places, an extension of ourselves, is who we are, is things that we're passionate about. But in these situations, in these locations, we're proclaiming resurrection life. We're proclaiming new hope. And we're doing these tasks, bringing glory to God and therefore identifying the meaning of life, to allude to something that Rob presented to us a few weeks ago in the Art of John Riley. And so sometimes these labeling of mission and missionary creates terms and creates categories, and I'd like to kind of move out from those categories and say that we're all in those places of mission and being missionaries and being in those situations. And sometimes as we extend out of ourselves into the world and into those situations, and this comes out of our createdness, it comes out of our encounter with Jesus, it comes out of who we are, the things we're passionate about, and this propels us forth into missionary life with eyes to see and ears to hear the places of brokenness and the places where resurrection life can break forth. And so the second part of the definition is the extension of who we are as the connection community made up of these individuals who are expressing the implications of resurrection life in the places we find ourselves. So you could critique me and say, Chris, you're just repeating yourself. You're just saying the same thing again. But what I want to highlight is it's in this coming together that we mutually build each other up and that we give each other strength and encouragement, and we give each other the strength and encouragement to do those missional tasks, do those things of resurrection life, and to share our stories and to share our struggles and to share the places where we need help and support. And sometimes to share situations where we can say that there's a situation in my neighborhood, in these situations where I can see the need for resurrection life to break forth. And we can say, hey, I know that you're talented in this situation, in this aspect, in this ability. Come alongside me and we can do something together here. And that's why it's both our sendedness as individuals, but our also sendedness as a community together, working this out together in these situations as co-participants, co-laborers in Christ Jesus. So I'd like to actually get to some scripture. I normally keep that close to the front, but at this point, I'd like to just look at Jesus' ascension narrative, and that's Acts 1, 1 to 11, and read that together. I think it's page 1651. It's pretty close to that, if not right on. I forgot to check and correct. And so this is where Jesus, just at the beginning of Acts' gospel, he has these parting words to his disciples. And so Luke starts with the formal address, and he says, "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven and given, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when the apostles were at Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has a time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go.'" So this is Jesus' charge to the people, to be his witnesses, to be his sent out from him ones into the world, into the places they find themselves. And he lists here Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. And it's not an emphasis on, well, do one, and then there's some sort of when you get there, you can go to the ends of the earth. It's Luke is telling the story as the gospel message unfolding from the place where Jesus rose from the dead and the spreading out over all creation, but there isn't some sort of hierarchy about where they're located. Even though the gospel of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles is shaped to kind of see Paul pushing the gospel message all the way to Rome, which would have been the center of the entire world at the time, at least in the worldview of that time. And so in this idea of being an extension of who we are as followers of Christ into the places we find ourselves, I do want to retain the aspect of sending out and the aspect of being on mission. Some might be sent from this community to another community. But in the sending out part, I want to focus on not where the people are sent, but what from, or who from, more importantly, they are sent. Because they're all sent ones, and that sent one is being out from the presence of Christ, out from the encounter with the resurrected Lord. And this is what happens in the beginning of Acts, as they gather around him. He says, "You will be my witnesses from this place, from the encounter with me, from me ascending into heaven. And then you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes, and you'll be sent out from my presence, my being, my resurrection life, into the world." And that's the emphasis I want with sending and with mission, with missionaries, that we're all sent from that position of being with Christ in an encounter with him. And this sending where to is in the places we find ourselves, in the people that we interact with, in the life that we're leading. So to not create a distinction about people who go far from their original locations, but we're all sent into the places where we see hurting and the people that we're interacting with. We're sent out from the presence of Christ. So tonight we'd like to focus on that going out aspect, that extension of who we are, both as individuals and more specifically when we're breaking into groups as the connection community together, and how we want to be viewed as a community that loves and declares resurrection life in the places we find ourselves, and in highlighting the distinctives of who we are in our neighborhoods and in our city. Contemplating how that unfolding of resurrection life and sentness out of his presence impacts the communities and the situations we find ourselves, and how we can, as a community, foster a deeper sense of missional life and a deeper sense of that going out portion, about that portion of declaring Christ's resurrection is taking place in the world. So these are the questions that we have for tonight as we vision, as we discuss together. And last week was a great time of talking and sharing and visioning and dreaming. And if you'd just like to break down into groups of five or six or whatever is comfortable, and just kind of contemplate how you can see this unfolding in the life of the Connection community. So